William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Prophet's Wife, a novel of an American faith by Libby Grant, performed by Sophie Amos. Does the prophet see the future? Or does he see a line of weakness, a fault or cleavage that he may shatter with words or decisions, as a diamond cutter shatters his gem with the blow of a knife? Frank Herbert, Dune. June 27, 1844, Nauvoo, Illinois. She sits at the long table, at its head, in the place of honor that belongs to Joseph by right. All her soberness is drawn about her like armor, her severity, the habitual silence, the habitual watching. She is calmer than she ought to be. She ought to feel something more, she knows, but after so long, almost 20 years, what more is left to feel? The girls carry food from the kitchens. They lay it out on platters, the full length of the table. They've been frightened and disbelieving for days now. They can think of little else to do but cook. It might as well be a festival. Buttered rolls and stewed greens, 2 roasted chickens, more besides. The food keeps coming. The table fills as if the girls expect to feed an army. Perhaps, Emma thinks, it will come to that by and by. Helen enters from the kitchen with a pie, still steaming from the oven. Emma looks at the pastry in its dish because she can't look at the girl. She never can look at any of them. Her eyes will not cooperate. They slide away like water from oil. Helen is the youngest. 16 now, or close to it. That's enough, Emma says. Tell the other girls to stop. Go and do something else. Make yourselves useful. A shy, frightened creature, Helen scurries away into the house, its long halls with many rooms, its great, muted chambers of nothingness. The very dimness of the room seems to have a sound, a suffused hum, as if the dark paneling along the walls were breathing out or moaning. She thinks she will weep, but she hasn't the leisure. She thinks she will scream. Then comes a heavy tread of boots at the entrance, one man ordering the others away in a voice of authority. She turns toward the sound, darting, instinctive. A moment later, the governor appears in the dining room and pauses, watching Emma. She can see him taking her measure, deciding already what to do with her, how to handle her, whether he ought to dismiss her out of hand. This is a way all men have of looking at women. They never look at one another this way. It's an assessment they reserve for the feminine alone. Eye the broadness of your hips and guess whether you can bear strong children. Weigh the pleasantness of your features or your figure. Stack you up against another woman for comparison's sake. Determine whether they can rouse themselves for you, and if so, for how many years. It used to upset her. Now she finds it foolish. She is 40 years old and looks every day of it. Looks older than her years, in fact. And by God, who would not be aged by everything she has seen and suffered? She had never been accounted a great beauty, but she had been thought passing pretty once, comely enough to catch the prophet's eye before any other woman had managed it. Where does prettiness get you in the end? She stares back at the governor. It's she who sits at the head of the table, not Thomas Ford. You're Emma Smith, the governor says.
I am.
You are a wife of Joseph's?
I am the wife of Joseph Smith, Jr., wedded to him in God's sight and by law, by every law of the land.
You Mormons think yourselves above the law, do you not?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?